Something seems odd about this week's culture clash. This is what is it? Something seems weird. Well, who's that? Who's out at the door? Oh, someone is at the studio door. Let's go over. Come on in. Come on in.
I took a long turn, left turn at Albuquerque. Is this the place to be?
Dude, what are you doing in my studio, man? This is weird, but insanely awesome.
Yes, I see these hives that are breaking out from Raider gear.
Welcome, listeners. You are listening to a very special Culture Clash right now. I'm in Atlanta in my home studio here, but I have a very special guest.
Yes. Who?
You.
Wait, who's me? I'm confused because, you know, the Thanos snap took my brain, but not my body.
Kyle, the birthplace of the Fandom Podcast Network co-founder, is actually here in Atlanta with me.
And I am in the Raider Nerd Man Cave, and I don't think I'll ever be the same again.
That's extra funny because he's a Chiefs fan, but yes. But there's other stuff in here other than Raider stuff, right?
Do I mention Kelly Kapowski?
You just did. Yes, I have a Kelly Kapowski doll, and I'm not ashamed of it. What else do we have in here?
Lots of Chucky.
Got a Raider Chucky going on. But hold on. What do I have over near my bed that you got for me from last year?
Oh, yeah. Kate Beckinsale.
Yes, I have a signed Kate Beckinsale picture, and it says, "To Kevin, your movie wife, love, Kate Beckinsale."
But she only did that because, you know, it was my charming face that convinced her of doing that.
Yeah, but I gave you the directions to do it. She did it. Mm-hmm. And she said,
but she wouldn't have done it for you in person, but for me.
You suck. You suck. But do I got the DVD signed up there, so yeah.
Yeah, who got that too?
So here we are. We're here in Atlanta, man. You made the trip up. We'll talk more about that. How you doing?
I'm resting. I'm recovered. You know, I've been out of that moondoggy. Moondoggy's pretty much been evacuated from the system. So, you know, vacation is a beautiful thing.
Wait, did you have a moondoggy purge?
Yeah, well, there was more of like a seance kind of thing. You know, I think there was a voodoo doctor there. You know, there might have even been... What was that? Which is
exorcism?
Yeah, you know, Linda Blair was there. I was kind of wondering about that.
Okay, so I got to ask you, because this is something I'm very proud of. You'll see around my room, I have a few signed cards. What do you think of that? And behind the FPNet banner that you can get on the T Public store, I've got a bunch of other signed stuff. Is that pretty impressive?
No, I am impressed, but... You know, I think part of it is cheating. You did have kind of an inside edge for a lot of these cards.
There were some I did, yes, and I'm not ashamed of that.
I'm calling insider trading now. Somebody call the government, you know. The next thing you know, watch the stock market the next few days, ladies and gentlemen.
A lot of people ask me, like, with these signed cards, like, which ones would you, like, take in case there was a fire? And it's that one right over there that has the entire TNG bridge crew.
Yep.
And it's got like Stan Lee down there in the corner and a couple of choice Star Wars ones.
Wait, though. What comes first? That or Kate?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that. Anyway, welcome, Kyle. It's been a pleasure having you this weekend. You've been staying here at my place, and it's been a blast. But I say we get in some culture clash. So what do you say?
I say I'm on vacation, yet Kevin expects me to work. That's about how.
This is the culture clash.
All right, here we are. I think let's do the business stuff out of the way.
Yeah, out of the way before we get to whatever we're going to be on these crazy.
Can you see that far?
I can see that far.
Okay, go for it.
I've had LASIK. You haven't. Okay, so of course you can find the Fandom Podcast Network on our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com, or you can also, if you're on your mobile devices, use the Podbean app. Of course, you can also find us on your mobile devices, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, or if you have an Android device, you can use the Google Play app. Of course, visit our Facebook page at Phantom Podcast Network. And if you want to email us and tell us what a phenomenal job we're doing or what a bunch of hacks we are, I'm expecting an email anytime from Alex Autry, so it's all good. All good. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Of course, on Instagram, you can find us at fandompodcastnetwork and on Twitter at fanpodnetwork. And of course, I'm Kyle. I'm on vacation. If you really think I'm going to give out my Twitter handle while I'm on vacation, you can find me at AKyleW. And on Instagram, I'm at finally recovered AKyleFandom.
I'm Kevin, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Also, hey, as I mentioned earlier, head on over to TeePublic, please. And now more than ever, because we have some new updated designs for our logos of all of our shows, and we're really excited about this. We've been doing this for a while. We're very proud of it. So go out to TeePublic and search Fandom Podcast Network, and you'll see a link for all of your favorite shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. And also, yeah, just keep buying some stuff, I guess.
That'd yeah, be cool, well, right? And, you know, please go to iTunes and leave us some reviews. We love iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
It gets us a little more attention on iTunes. Plus, we hear what you're thinking of what we're doing. And, you know, we love to have the 5-star. But, you know, even if it's 3-star or 2-star or 4-star, you know, it gives us valuable input to let us make a better show for our listener.
I will read a 1-star review live on Culture Clash. That would be entertaining.
Don't encourage Michael Morris.
All right. So, I guess there's that. I guess we need to talk about some stuff, right?
Yeah, we actually did some fandom related things while I was here. It wasn't just all booze and women.
It's true. Yes.
Oh, wait. I wasn't supposed to talk about that. Sorry, Aaron.
It's booze, women, and robots. That's what it is.
I thought we weren't supposed to mention the women part.
Well, he did, so it's too late. So,
I'm
in trouble. Yeah. Okay. Well, here
it's
we go.
It's all my fault, Aaron. He was a perfect gentleman.
What do you say? Let's news!
Let's news!
So, Kevin, I think this first one it's a little sad, but I think it's well deserved. And I know Erin probably is a little bummed by this because we know her love for everything Mr. Campbell, and we know Mr. Bruce Campbell has a special place now and forever with Kevin and Erin.
Yeah, he so Starz has pretty much has canceled the show.
Yeah, Ash versus Evil Dead is what we're talking about. Canceled. Starz kind of did this not fairly to the last season. They kind of moved it to a place where like everybody's like whatever, and people were starting to watch more Ash versus Evil Dead on Netflix, so it was really getting its numbers there. A lot of people just lost track of when the third season was going to be, so it didn't pull in great numbers, and so they decided to cancel it and move on. I know there's been a big push to try to get pushed onto net for Netflix to pick it up and continue it, but I think Bruce Campbell kind of made a decision for everybody on this topic, and I'll let you go ahead and say what he had to say, Kevin.
Yeah, he said that he made an announcement on Twitter not too long after Starz canceled it, and he says, "Big props to the fans for the effort, but I'm retiring as Ash. # time to fry some other fish," Campbell retweeted. The actor's comment came in response to a bloody disgusting article encouraging fans of the show to urge Netflix to pick up the series, which is interesting. More people were watching it there the first couple of seasons, and I guess it just lost an audience, I guess. He decided to officially do that. It's a little sad, of course, but I'm happy for him because he has his fans. He's good to his fans. And as you mentioned, he does hold a special place in my heart and Aaron's heart, because Aaron's a big fan of the original Evil Dead. She doesn't like the sequels as much, obviously, but she loves the Evil Dead, and we went on an Evil Dead filming location vacation last year. That was a lot of fun, and I decided to surprise Aaron at Walker Stalker last October to get a photograph taken with him, and right before the photograph was taken, I asked her to marry me, and we got. And what was great about it was that Mr. Campbell, when he realized what I was doing, he told the photographer, now keep in mind those pictures are like $60 a pop.
Yeah.
He says, keep taking pictures.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the photographer did. And we got some classic pictures out of that. We had like 6 or 7 pictures at for the price of one. So that was very kind of Mr. Bruce. And then we went over and paid for some autographs for him. And he autographed a couple of our pictures that we had just done. So all power to him, though. I hope he find. It would be nice if he found like another show, kind of like Burn Notice, that he could do. What do you think?
Yeah, and this is something I'm actually... I mean, I'm sad to see Ash retired, but Bruce Campbell's actually spun off and done a lot of things. I mean, he did Sam Axe on Burn Notice. He's been in a few other shows. I want to see him do something different. Bruce Campbell is too talented to be just one character.
Yeah.
And I mean, I loved Sam Axe and Burn Notice.
Oh, he was great. He was my favorite character.
And I'm really hoping he finds something, a project that he really likes. He's written a couple books, and those are hilarious. And he did an interview maybe about a year ago with The Nerdist and Chris Hardwick. That's a great interview. And he talks about a lot of other things he's interested in. It's very interesting. I would recommend anybody go find that.
What was interesting about it, or was it just like,
well, he was just talking about all the other different things he was interested in. You get a side of Bruce Campbell I really hadn't been exposed to before, and I think a lot of people hadn't been.
What was interesting is that weekend that they had him at Walker Stalker, Aaron and I went to a little place in Southern Georgia, and they were actually doing Evil Dead the musical.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And we went on a Friday night, and there was rumors that he was invited and he might come, but he did end up not coming, though. But we had so much fun, and that Evil Dead the musical was hilarious.
I can't remember. Were you in the splatter zone?
I was not in the splatter zone. We did not pay extra for it. I'm actually kind of glad I didn't, but they did give the people in the splatter zone little rain ponchos. And if you were in the splatter zone, it wasn't like someone was cutting open some like fake blood and it would splash. Whenever there was a blood scene, you actually had people like hands come from the side with like a fake blood squirt gun and literally just squirt you with fake blood.
Oh, that's funny.
So there was no getting away from it. Okay, the next news thing I'm actually really excited about, because he's been rumored to be returning to this character. And that is Sylvester Stallone is reportedly returning to Rambo 5.
Okay, I have to ask you this, because it's the same issue I have with Arnold Schwarzenegger at this point. Age is becoming an issue here.
I disagree.
I mean, I know he's done the Expendables movies, but his action scenes were a little different in the Expendables movies. I personally liked the last Rambo film.
Right? Oh, it was great.
It was great. And I thought that was like actually a really good note to kind of leave on for Rambo. So I'm a little, I don't want to say trepidatious, but does he really need to go to this well again?
Here's two reasons why I say yes. Okay, first of all, there was an interview that I saw with Mr. Stallone a while ago, and they were asking him, why did he did this sequel? Why does he do that sequel? His sequels were making money and people love his movies. And he says, look, I'm not a rocket scientist here, but I'm giving my fans what they want to see.
No, and I can respect
plain
that.
And simple. At the end of Rambo 4, he returns to the United States and he walks down that road, Rambo. And this is something that we've never seen from Rambo. We've never seen any of his family. And this is something I've been wanting to see ever since, like, Rambo 2 and 3. I wanted to see where he grew up, what that was. And if he does do this film, of course I'm looking forward to the action. I remember there was an original script where he was going to deal with cartels and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, I want to see character development, and I want to learn, like, does he have family? So then maybe it becomes personal to him, you know, and something like that. So... and what I liked about Rambo 4 is, remember, he did a little bit of running, but the last end scene was pretty much him using up his bow and arrows and then getting behind that machine gun down the car and just killing all those guys.
Yeah. Okay, now I do have a question for you, and this is going to go back to what we discussed when we had our second part of Time Warp, which will be coming out soon, because we talked about the difference between First Blood and then where the Rambo films went after that.
Yep.
Do you think maybe if they're going to do a 5, I'd almost like to see them kind of maybe turn it and go back to what the feel of the original First Blood film was. It was more of a story and feeling about Rambo instead of just an action movie, a Rambo action movie.
The rest of this article actually touches on what I had thought of, and it says that the film is described as follows. When the daughter of one of his friends is kidnapped, Rambo, who has been working on a ranch, crosses the U.S.-Mexican border and quickly finds himself up against a full might of one of Mexico's most violent cartels. Yes, to answer your question, yes. But, I mean, you don't want to tell the same story twice. You want to add something a little bit different to his character. And it would be nice if it is a friend of his that he's trying to help, it would be nice to know that there is someone else that cares about him and that he has that, because he's been off the country for so long, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to doing the old action hero thing, honestly, I think Rambo is doing a better job than Sylvester, or better than,
Schwarzenegger. No, I agree. I agree with you there.
So, and he's a good actor. He knows he knows how to sell it. So yeah. So are you kind of like on the fence about it?
No, I mean, I'll go if he does another Rambo movie. I'm going to go see it. I'm just curious to see where they're going to go with it. I agree with you. I really think it's time for Schwarzenegger to really step away from action films.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him do some nice drama and stuff like that.
Because he's proven he can do it.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, when I look at Arnold, and I this is kind of one of the things, you don't see Stallone doing, like, these game ads and stuff like Arnold's been doing lately. And I just, it almost makes me sad to see Arnold doing that kind of stuff.
Right, yeah.
Where Stallone is still putting out amazing movies. He was obviously Academy Award nominated for Creed.
Yeah.
And we got Creed 2 coming here soon.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Now, with all of this Avengers Infinity War stuff going on here, what's going to begin filming next year is Guardian 3.
Wait. Yeah, I got what you did there.
Did you get that?
Yeah, Guardian of the Galaxy 3, the Rocket Raccoon movie.
Is he the only one that's alive?
Technically Nebula is still alive. So.
Okay, all right.
I know this movie is scheduled to come out. James Gunn has said it's scheduled to come out sometime in 2020. But yeah, next year they start filming it. I think it is scheduled to be the second film after Avengers 4. The next Spider-Man movie will be first, and then you're going to have the next Guardians film.
After the timeline of Avengers.
Even release-wise. You'll have Avengers 4, then you will have the next Spider-Man film, and then it's the Guardians film.
Okay, I know there's a lot of people that are wondering, like, well, how are they going to do it? Because, like, everyone's dead, but... You know, we're going to see something happen that, you know, going to change
that. Come on. I want to address this real quick. People, I know you're all upset because everybody died, but it's a comic book movie. It's, keywords are comic book. What happens in comic books? Nobody stays dead. Unless your name is Uncle Ben.
And plus, there's that one thing on the Infinity Gauntlet that does something with
souls,
time and souls and reality. Like, so... There's some wiggle room there. I'm excited though. That's really, really cool. And by the way, I put a post out on Facebook today, and I just want to mention to people here, we're gonna start talking more about Guardians of the Galaxy, and we have a thing that the Avengers Infinity War, and we're gonna tease a couple of new segments at the end of the show. The spoiler warning stuff, we're going to stop doing that. We're going to start talking about it. So if you haven't seen it yet, go see it. But it's on you now.
Yep, exactly. You've had two weeks.
The moratorium is now ending as of, let's say, Monday, May 7th.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll say that. Okay.
Now, Kevin, I've been on vacation. Yes. I've been hanging out here with you. Mm-hmm. You know, much, much needed vacation. But here's the thing. I came here on vacation not sure what to expect. I sure as heck wasn't expecting a big dose of brew stew.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, that's right. Yeah, we got some Star Wars stuff to talk about.
Yep. So without further ado, let's dish up some brew stew.
Luke, tell Uncle if he gets a translator, be sure it speaks Bocce.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
So, dude, you're like a poet, and you didn't know it there for a second.
See, I
without further ado, let's dish up some baristu.
Hey, I'm on vacation. The brain is kind of getting back to normal after tax season. I'm getting my roll on. Just call me the Dr. Seuss of the podcast. But, okay, so realistically, I did know there was going to be some Star Wars stuff going on because I drove up to Atlanta on May the 4th. So we had all that going on. And the plan was I met up with Kevin at the SunTrust Stadium, which is the home of the Atlanta Braves, and they were having Star Wars night. And, of course, Kevin, being part of the 501st, they always have a big troop at the Star Wars night at the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year we had a little something extra special because I got there, and we kind of knew this was coming, but they didn't really advertise this a lot, Kevin, from what I've gathered from talking to people.
Okay, let's back up a little before you talk about that. Okay, so there was Star Wars night, but first, before we talk about that, we got to talk about the Solo tickets.
Here. Oh, yes, because Solo tickets went on sale at, like, 12:01 May the 4th.
Yes.
But here was the thing, and this was kind of the crazy thing, at least on Fandango, and I think even on the AMC app, like, 2 days before, the ticket times were showing up.
But you couldn't actually...
So you click on it, it said... come back later to buy a ticket.
Right.
Well, they finally had them available 12:01. And so all day May the 4th, you saw people holding up pictures of their bought tickets, Solo tickets. Yeah. I got mine. I know you got yours.
Yeah, you got yours for Thursday night. I opted to wait for Friday night because that weekend is Memorial Day weekend. And I'm taking Camille to MomoCon here in Atlanta, which is kind of like the big anime con. But they're showing a little more pop culture stuff of the anime there. And I got friends of mine. Scott's coming down from North Carolina. And his kids are coming down, his wife. And so we're all going to go see it together after MomoCon on Friday night. We're going to do that instead. And I didn't want to like see it on Thursday and then Camille find out that I saw it without her. So we want to see a Star Wars movie together when it premieres. So I think we did that for Last Jedi as well. So so that's what happened. So we hope that you got your tickets. Apparently they're saying that advanced ticket sales reportedly are outselling Black Panther. Now,
wait, stop. Black Panther isn't even the number one movie. That's old news now, Kevin. Come on now.
It didn't say Avengers Infinity War, which broke Black Panther's record, right?
Okay, yeah, exactly. Do we really think anything's going to break Infinity War until Avengers 4 comes out?
Yeah, but you know what? Let me ask you this, because this is becoming a norm now, where that not Norman Seelau, but Norm, that the advanced ticket sales are becoming kind of hassle-free, and people just want to know that there's a seat waiting for them in a month.
I think honestly, in the world we live in today, that be able to have the ability to get your ticket, just go right up to the theater, get in, have your seat, not have to go to the theater and wait 4 hours.
Yeah.
But I think it's the way we're going in today's society. I mean, I've been in lines and waited forever for a ticket. And then sometimes you're so tired by the time you get in and get your ticket because you've been in line for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
You get to the movie and you kind of don't have the same energy that you would when you first go in. And you know what? I think this is not a good thing because with pre-sales, the people who are buying tickets, especially for these opening nights and stuff, are the people who really want to be there. You're right. Not going to get the average fan who's just like, you know, I'll see it when I go see it. It's going to be the people who really, truly want to be there. They're buying the tickets.
Yeah. What's interesting is the tickets that we bought for this theater, it's a Regal theater, is not reserved seating. So that's going to be interesting.
You have fun with that. I know that. I mean, a lot of pre-sale tickets, but I know there's a lot. It's about 50-50 now on reserved seating. I think that's eventually going to be 100% reserved seating across the board. And
eventually.
But in major theaters.
Major theaters, yeah. Yeah, agreed. So I don't know. I'm really excited about Solo. And so speaking of Solo, well, as you said that you were coming up here, we decided to meet at the SunTrust Stadium, Atlanta Braves Stadium, because my 501st Rebel Legion group always does a troop there. They ask us there. They do a great job of catering to us. And we kind of spread it out the way it works, where I was in group A, so I started first, but there's more than one group A, one group, like there's a group, you know, I think it's group 1A, 1B. We all kind of, there's about 8 of us that go to certain areas at different gates to be there with the fans and mingle and get pictures taken and stuff. And that was a lot of fun. You drove up. You came up a little bit earlier, though, because about a week ago, and I think I mentioned this to you, someone in our 501st group says, hey, guess what's going to be here for the weekend for the Braves? It's the new traveling solo Millennium Falcon experience.
And wasn't this the debut place for it?
I think no. I think it. Well, I maybe for a public event, maybe.
Yeah.
Because there was that video that Don Glover plays Lando did it, but I don't know where he did
he
it.
He might have been on set.
That's possible. But so what it is? It's a traveling. It's basically a traveling kind of like solo circus, so to speak. What it is? There's two big tractor trailers that go to whatever event it is, and then they put these trailers together in like this T formation. And I'm going to let you explain because you went first because tell people how early you arrived and what happened. Because the game started at what, 7:30?
7:30. Yeah. I drove up because I was driving up from Tampa to Atlanta, which is about a 6-hour drive. And I drove at, I left at times to where I would avoid the morning Tampa traffic, but I wouldn't hit the Atlanta evening traffic. So I ended up getting to the park about 1:30.
You made good time, didn't you?
Yeah, I made pretty good time until I actually got to the gosh forsaken traffic wall in Atlanta.
Yes.
But so I get to the park and it's a beautiful area. This is the first time I've been here since they built this new stadium, and they've really built up almost a small city around the stadium. And it's beautiful. There's a lot of really cool stuff. So
there's stuff that goes on when the Braves aren't playing.
Yeah. There's restaurants. It's a kind of a nightlife kind of place, but they've got apartments, higher end apartments and things like that. So I got to the stadium and I'm just kind of walking around looking, cause I had already bought my ticket through Ticketmaster, was on my phone, and I look over and there's the solo experience. So I just kind of walk over. I don't even know if it's open yet. And apparently it had been open for a little bit, and you were supposed to get a ticket to get a time to go in, and they
free ticket.
Yeah, free ticket. They're not charging for this, but it's still, they were timing it just to keep the flow of people, right? And I was like, oh, where do I go get a ticket? And it's like, you're Kyle Wagner from the Fandom Podcast Network. You just go right in.
Liar.
No, but I was there. There wasn't a big line. They saw I was there by myself. And they just let me go in, and I got to get in, enjoy my new ride before all these 501st people came and soiled it all. I mean, you're going to get my floor cleaning rug shag cleaning bill, by the way, Kevin. It was very well done. They had the bar area, they had the game table, they had the cockpit. They really let you take your time to be able to walk around and look and really absorb it in.
And that's why they only let, like, you know, 7 to 4 people at a time, because your ticket allows a small group of like 4 or so.
Yeah.
And I noticed that if there was only 2 people that arrived with that ticket, they would ask if there was another 2 to kind of join your crowd to kind of keep it going. But yeah, you're right. They gave you enough time to do stuff.
And I'm sure it was mostly volunteer people at the thing, but they were really good about taking pictures so you could get yourself in a picture or your group in a picture. I think maybe the only thing I wish out of it, and I mean, it was very well done, it was very authentic, but I wish they would have had some kind of hyperspace screen on the cockpit or something playing on the cockpit. But, you know, I get it with the trailer and probably what they had for access to power and things like that. They were probably a little limited, but it was very cool to check out and a very cool thing to tie into with the events later that evening.
Yeah, I ended up, I think I arrived with my 501st carpool group around, I think it was 3:30 or 4 o'clock,
right around.
Yeah, and you saw the other 501st buddies, so I got out of the car and they told me about it, and I went and got a ticket. But it wasn't until like a half hour later, but one of my 501st buddies, Barrett, his wife and his son, they had a 3:30 one. So I just joined them, which was cool. And I took a little video and I wanted to make sure I got all the pictures I needed. And the crew in there, the volunteers, they were really wonderful about taking pictures for you and stuff. And you know, it was nice to be part of a little small group at a time so you can really kind of enjoy everything. But for what it was pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see where this tour is going to end up traveling, because I think it's a great way to promote the film too.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because being inside of a very clean Falcon is very surreal.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what's going on here?
Oh, man. Okay, so then there was the Star Wars night, the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, and that was very cool. Atlanta did a beautiful job of setting things up for that. And also, you know, you guys do a phenomenal job of trooping there and everything. But what was amazing to me, and we didn't find this out till the next day, was it was the record-setting night of attendance at that new stadium.
Yeah, they've struggled to get to fill that stadium recently, but the Braves were on a 5-game winning streak. They're above 500.
First place, actually.
Yeah, they're first place, but they ended up losing to the Giants.
Yeah.
They were up. I think they were down like 6-3 in like the second inning.
Yeah, I think the final was 8-4 or something like that.
What's kind of sad is that this is the second year at the new stadium that I know that we've trooped that event, and they've lost both those games.
Yeah. You're a jinx. The 501st is a jinx to the Braves. Let's see if that's why they don't let you come to Falcons games, right?
Yeah. So after I did my troop, we're allowed to change, put our regular 501st t-shirts and stuff on, and they gave us free tickets, which was nice. And I went and watched the game for a little bit. But I had a chance to sneak you in backstage to where they took care of us. What did you think of that?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. They give you guys the first class treatment without a doubt.
Yeah, they gave us these big rooms to change. The girls had their own section. They had the family section. They had the guys section. And they gave us all free pizza and drinks and stuff like that. It was really, really cool. The stadium is beautiful. And that's kind of become the norm now with new stadiums. You build basically a city around it of other entertainment to keep it going when there's no games going
on. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that was the other thing, too, was just the atmosphere of that stadium. The stadium has a great atmosphere because it really feels like the fans are right there in that stadium. Yeah. It's a beautifully designed stadium. And for as crowded as it was, I never felt like I was jammed in.
Right.
And sometimes you go to these stadiums when they get packed on a big game like that, you feel like you're jammed in. And I never felt that way in that stadium.
And they have a standing room section tickets for like $20, which I actually think is a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really cool. And so... It's fun. It was Star Wars night is a huge hit there, and they also had a free bobblehead night, right?
Yeah. Ozzy Albatus, I believe, was the player, and he was decked out as Lando Calrissian.
Yes.
which leads us to the climactic part of our May the 4th, Kevin.
This is true. Yes.
We went to Podcasting Hacks House, Michael Morris. and it had been the first time I'd ever been there. I'd met Michael in person at a Dragon Con a couple of years ago. And mm-hmm. obviously, you know, you guys live both in Atlanta, so you see each other on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid my toll with my Lando Calrissian bobblehead.
That was very nice of you to give that bobblehead to because we know that Michael's a huge Lando fan.
Yeah. And I got to meet finally in person the real talent of the Morris family, the lovely Christy Morris.
I know, right? Yeah. That's where all the talent is. Because when she sweats, talent kind of drips off. And that's the only way that Michael can get talent is from her sweat.
But she doesn't really sweat a lot.
She glows.
Yeah, she glows. That's glowing. She does a beautiful Jessica Jones, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was rocking that.
So I got to experience, of course, Michael Morris also being the host of the Cloud City Casino podcast. Mm-hmm. But I got to experience the epicness of his Star Wars toy room.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is overwhelming, I must say. But it is quite epic. He also has, of course, his large kaiju collection.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a fun night to be able to meet people and make new friends and see some old friends. And there was one other thing, though, did it happen or did it not happen? That's the question, Kevin.
Oh, fans got trolled, and I should have picked up on this sooner than I did, but we thought we were going to get a celebration announcement on May 4th, Friday, May 4th. And I should have figured out something was wonky because the logo that I saw was actually the blue logo that was used for Celebration London back in 2016. And there was no announcement. Nothing. And I remember getting off work because I was kind of in a social media blackout during work. And I said, was there... And this was Friday when I was trying to get my stuff together, get home, get my costume, meet up for our carpool to go to the Braves game. So I didn't really have time to get on social media. But I did go. Did anything happen? There was nothing. Nothing at all. And so it was very clever. I don't know if there was some leaks that were put out there and people jumped on it or some... I don't know. What do you think?
I think people are so in anticipation for an announcement. And I think May the 4th would be a time to have that announcement. So it didn't take much for somebody to slip something out there and probably just say, I hope they announce something about this. And it gets turned into they're announcing something about this, depending on who put it out there. And I think this is one time where the fans' hopes got ahead of their reality.
Yeah, you know, Lucas, I don't know if they just haven't secured or they haven't gotten all the details yet for a venue. That's what I'm wondering.
Well, and I'm wondering too, and let's go back to the last celebration, which was in Orlando, and a lot of the logistical problems they had.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're still trying to fine-tune those so they have them right for whatever venue they do choose. I think most people are figuring at this point it's going to be Anaheim again, because I do believe Galaxy's Edge and Anaheim is opening before Galaxy's Edge and Orlando.
Right. Maybe this time they'll learn not to put the photo experience in the corner of a room where all the lines kind of intersect. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I do want to ask you something, Kevin, and maybe this falls a little from your confession too, because now that you're kind of seeing Star Wars, certain things of Star Wars in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think now, looking at it, with everything that's supposed to be happening in Star Wars 2019, they're in danger of burning Star Wars out a little bit in 2019? Because let's just step back and take a look at it real quick. You're going to have both Galaxy Edges opening up. You're probably going to have a celebration. You're going to have Episode 9. We'll be within probably still the first season of the new animated series in Resistance. You're probably going to have more news about the TV show, which might be even coming out before 2019 ends when the streaming service starts. Obviously, we still have to hear about Rian Johnson's other trilogy and news about what the Game of Thrones guys are going to do.
Right.
That's a lot of stuff within 1 year for any one property. Yeah. I mean, not even Marvel might put out two or three movies, but that's about it.
You mean burnout? Is that what
you're asking? Just saying, do you think it's burnout or oversaturation at this point?
I think it is, to be honest with you, but it's one of those things where I think it's still gonna they're still going full forward with this. But I think we as older fans are feeling the burnout, because I think the benchmark was Last Jedi, and also the declining sales of toys, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, some of that is how the toy manufacturers are handling things too. But I think the other thing with this is that I think after Episode 9 comes out, there really needs to be at least a year and a half to 2 year break before we have another film.
I would like, if Episode 9 is going to hit the, it was going to be a Christmas release, right?
Next Christmas, yes.
I would be happy for a year and a half break so it does go back to May. Yeah. That would be nice.
I think what's happened to, and we talked about this in our summer movie special, there's too much stuff coming out at Christmas now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You're right. Yeah, it's everyone's kind of trying to jump on the new summer is Christmas. So yeah. But I think you're right. There is a little bit of burnout. But what I'm really curious about is if Star Wars, what's it called? Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah.
Star Wars Land. I still call it Star Wars Land. Yeah. If all of the movies or genres are going to be well representative, or are they going to just kind of stick to Episode 70 type looking stuff? You know what I mean?
I don't think they're going to. I think it's going to be more to feel through the whole Star Wars universe. And I honestly, from what I'm gathering, it might not even be like where it's focused on one movie. It's just like you're going into that world.
Yeah.
And that's kind of that's how I'm hoping they do it. I want them to do it that way and not have it be focused on particular movie. It's going to be more of, you're just in that universe now. There's elements from all everything because you're just in that universe.
There's three things that I want to see there that I know I'm not going to see, but I'm going to say it anyway. First of all, I want like a classic cantina style room.
Okay? I think you're going to see that.
I would love either or of these. I'll take one, maybe two of these three options. A Wampa room, or a Rancor type Jabba's Palace room. Or like I would love to see some Ewoks up in a tree with a little like Ewok village.
Well, I know, of course, they're going to have a full size Millennium Falcon mock up.
Yeah.
These and AT-ATs. So.
Are you going to be able to walk in that Falcon, you think?
That's part of it. It's going to be like an attraction ride you can go into. But, you know, I'm looking at my bottom of my bowl. My Baru stew is empty, Kevin.
Yes, mine is empty as well. I think it's time to close out and get on the next segment.
Yeah, I think so. And
wait, hold on. Yep, done.
And there went my appetite.
But... And you got to see it in person.
Oh. Trust me, it's not worth it. It's not worth the price of admission, ladies and gentlemen. But, okay, so let's get back to my vacation.
Yes.
Because there was something else that happened while I was here with you on vacation. And that was, of course, May 5th. not Revenge of the Fifth, but Free Comic Book Day.
Yes, Free Comic Book Day.
And I hung out with America's Leading Fighting Force, Kevin.
Yes, you did. G.I. Joe! And Cobra. Yeah, we had Free Comic Book Day, and this has become a tradition with our G.I. Joe Finest, the Southern Command here in Georgia. We have our own garrison, the Southern Command. And Shelly, who runs Tea House Comics here in the Atlanta area, invites us, and we hang out for a few hours for Free Comic Book Day in costume. And this was a group I've been wanting you to also meet and take part of, not just the 501st and Rebel Legion, because I love these guys too. It's a smaller group, but they're really good people. And I dressed up in costume. I went as my Tiger Force Rakondo. And so what did you think? Well, what were you expecting?
Now, granted, I have a little more experience with your G.I. Joe Finest group because I've been to Dragon Con a couple of times. That's I've gone true. To the shoots with you, so I know the quality of stuff they put in. And obviously, I'm very familiar with Free Comic Book Day. I thought it was a great setup. The store we went to was a nice, quaint little store that had that feel to it. You guys were there. A lot of kids were excited to see you. They wanted your weapons.
I know. I had the Hunga Munga weapon that... Buffy the Vampire Slayer made famous in her TV series, but my character Rakondo had that really cool blade weapon, and kids just love it when you give them like guns and toys to play with for pictures.
Go figure on that, but no, it was a good time, and of course, you know, I got to meet the other podcast hack in person for the first time.
Yes, you did. He came to see us at Free Comic Book Day.
He calls himself the real co-host. I don't know about this.
Yeah, I don't know. Mr. Seventh Row Center himself, Alex Autry, came by to say hi.
Yeah, and that was fun. And we had a little adventure with Mr. Autry a little later, which we'll get to. But, you know, it was really great. You got some great people in your group with G.I. Joe Finest. And, you know, it was great to see such support and people recognizing you guys, too.
Yes. But what was really funny, though, is and we'll talk about the fun we had with Alex. But we decided to go to I dragged you along to a few thrift stores because we were on a Chuckles Hawaiian shirt.
And who found the shirt? Who found the shirt?
You found a shirt, whether or not it will be the one that's chosen, but you did find a good one for Chuckles that I want to do as one of my next G.I. Joe cosplay costumes. So, yeah.
And then we all went over as G.I. Joe's and invaded a restaurant and had lunch.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
Very good lunch. And then we went on a little adventure with Alex Autry, which, you know, that... kind of could be scary in its own right.
Yeah, but he had a great idea.
Yeah, no, it was a wonderful idea. And before anything else, Alex Autry needs to be propped. And I'm telling you, for you criminal underworld people, you if you need somebody to trail a person.
Oh my God, yes.
There's a man I can highly recommend as far as trailing. If whether it's you're talking police undercover needing to be trailed, or you know the criminal underworld element, I'm not going to talk about
so,
that.
So but. Alex was following me in my Raider Nerdmobile that you were riding in, and he did an excellent job following us. And I swear to God, he could be like a getaway driver or a baby driver or whatever.
He needs to be in the John Wick world.
Totally. I could totally see Alex as like one of those assassins. Yeah. And he's like his expert is cars. That'd be awesome.
But no, Alex actually came up with a brilliant idea. A place I'd never even heard of, Kevin. You were familiar with it, but this place was awesome.
Yeah, we went to a place called Marietta Square here in the Atlanta area. And I'm very familiar with it for personal reasons. But it's an old time looking square. They got an old theater called The Strand. They have an Australian bakery. They have a, every Saturday, they have a farmer's market. They also have a great costume and magic trick shop there. They have a great vinyl and CD and Laserdisc store there. It's a really, really cool place. But there's a place there called Rocket Fizz. Now, I've been in there before, but I didn't really enjoy it as much as I did with Alex and you. What was your first reaction to when you walked in there?
You just walk in and the first thing you see is actually not even the sodas or the candy. It's just all the old posters of classic things, whether it's old comic book style posters or other things. And everything in there kind of has a very strong retro feel to
it. Oh, it does. Oh, it does.
And then you start looking at the different sodas.
This place specializes in retro style, pop culture, comic-y, comedic type flavored sodas. Was that a good way to put it?
And I mean, and some traditional. You had like your Orange Crush and your Strawberry Crush and some things like that. But you're
Dad's
also,
Root Beer,
Hank's. But they also had some other brands that are known for a little bit more zest, and I don't mean alcohol. I just mean they're just made in a way that they have a little more pop to them,
a little more sugar,
a little more sugar. A couple of things I tried was Oso Strawberry and Oso Grape, but they also have their own branding sodas. And Kevin found the greatest soda name of all time. And let me just say, I came here for one thing, but I'm all out of it.
Yes, they have Rowdy Roddy Piper, all out of bubblegum. Bubblegum soda, and I just finished drinking it here. It is delicious. You had the Oso Strawberry,
right? Yes, the Oso Strawberry.
Oh, that was good, man. But they also had Jolt Cola.
Yes. Kevin and I each bought a big can of Jolt Cola. I think we're both actually afraid to try it.
I know. I totally did. The last time I had Jolt Cola, I think, was like in my 20s. I don't know if my 40-year-old-ish body could take it.
I think we might have missed a disclaimer saying, if you're over 40, you're not allowed to drink Jolt Cola.
But the other cool thing about this place, and Alex was great. He, I liked how he was prepared. He had his own like six packs that were empty, and because you recycle those, they give those to you because you get a discount if you buy a six pack.
Yeah,
assuming all the
it's not the same. They have a few specialty sodas. I know one you got actually really excited about was Kiss Cola.
Yes, there was the Kiss Cola there as well, but they also had a great selection of retro candy.
Oh yeah,
stuff. Yeah, I got the Zots. Zots,
old school Charleston chews.
Yeah, a bunch of really cool gummies and chocolates and all kind. You name it, they had it there.
And one of the things I liked too was they had the old classic grocery store style comic book rack.
That's right. That's right. Oh my God, that was so good. And they actually had some like vintage comics.
They had some old. I mean, they had a lot of newer stuff, but I found a couple comics from the 80s in that rack. So that was very cool to find. It was a very cool store. And like I said, we were obviously there with an expert in Alex.
Yeah, Alex, we want to thank you so much. That was such a fun venture. And I want to go back there and try some stuff because there's so I could have bought like, you know, six packs. It was crazy. But I just bought the one and then the extra Jolt Cola.
Now you talk about the Jolt, but let's talk about the other soda you got. A certain Wink Martindale.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it was the Wink Martindale. If you don't know who Wink Martindale is, you're young. If you do know who he is, you're old. Very famous game show host. And he had his own, I'm forgetting the name of it because it's in my fridge right now, but it's kind of like a mango,
citrusy grapefruit
thing. And it's just, it has a great picture of him like holding up like the soda. And he's like that Wink Martindale. So if you know who Wink Martindale is, you know he's got this smile. So.
Yeah.
What a name too. But that was a lot of fun. And then I, before we went back to my place, we went by a bunch of, a couple of, thrift stores, did a little chuckle shirt hunting. And then we, what did we do after that?
We had a little dinner because we went to a place that I don't have in Florida that you have here, a little Del Taco.
Del Taco. That's right. And then we decided to meet up again with Michael and Christy.
No. It was Jessica Jones. Get it right.
Sorry. Jessica Jones and Michael. And we went to go see Avengers Infinity War again.
On IMAX.
What did you think of that theater, by the way?
That was a nice theater. It's amazing how many movie theaters you have in Atlanta.
I know. We've got a lot. Yeah. I love those Coca-Cola fancy Coke machines. We can add all kinds of different flavoring.
Yeah, those are great. I need one in my room.
I know. That'd be dangerous.
What happened to him? We think it might have been sugar overload. He makes too many flavors. It causes an explosion.
Now, before we get into our little announcement of some upcoming new segments we're going to introduce, we have a segment that we always do.
Yeah. Well, and the whole time I have been in Atlanta because something debuted on May 2nd.
Yeah, it did.
And we've been hearing about it, and the whole time we've been in Atlanta, both Kevin and I have been blasted from all of our friends that you got to watch this right now, whatever you're doing. And that is, of course, the new YouTube Red show based continuing the adventures of Daniel LaRusso and, of course,
Johnny.
The Cobra Kai on YouTube Red. And Kevin, we've had time to actually at least watch the first two episodes.
Yes. Because they're free right now on YouTube, the first two episodes. And so we decided to watch those. And what was funny, too, is after they ended, if they kept playing some scenes from some upcoming episodes, and we kept laughing and laughing. I was pleasantly surprised by these first two episodes, man.
Oh, they were fantastic. It captured all the spirit of the 80s with the music they used, especially for Johnny. I love the twist that they're kind of playing out right now, where like Daniel LaRusso's kids are a little bit more of the elite, spoiled kids.
Yeah, the snobbies. Yeah,
the snobbies. But what I love about it is, for me, is the young kids that are coming into the Cobra Kai dojo. Because what's happening is kind of funny. You're seeing Johnny kind of teach them to man up and kind of stand up for themselves, but still in that not kind of questionable Cobra Kai way.
Yeah, and one thing that resonated me was after, because you know when you watch YouTube and you leave it alone, you end up getting sucked in this YouTube black hole and you start watching this other related stuff. We were watching this interview with Ralph Macchio and William Zabka doing the promotional rounds for the show. And Ralph Macchio said something that was interesting, because in the first episode, you get the side of Johnny's character. He's down out in his love.
Jonathan Lawrence is his last name.
Johnny Lawrence. In the second episode, you get more of kind of the side of what's happening with Daniel LaRusso's character. You know, he's successful. He's a big, you know, hotshot car dealer. And their lives intertwine again. And what I liked what Ralph Macchio said was that they each get a chance to play the protagonist and the antagonist.
Yeah.
The bad guy and the good guy in this. And I thought that was really cool, because you really start to sympathize with Johnny's character.
Yeah, he's been down and out for circumstances beyond his control.
Yeah.
But you see him turning his life around. And like I said, it turns out he's helping these kids, but in a very much the not quite so great Cobra Kai way, but he's still helping these kids.
But what's cool about it is it throws back to the original Karate Kid movie, where he's actually helping a young kid that gets bullied, just like Daniel LaRusso did with got bullied and Miyagi saw him.
Yeah, it's just you get that he's still teaching the kind of it's like he's the bad guy trying to go good, but he can't quite get.
But you could tell that he's. And this is interesting. You can tell that he's sick of the youth right now.
Yeah.
They're spoiled. They're not appreciative of things. And so he sees something in these kids that he can mold.
Get Guns N' Roses on that phone.
Yes, exactly. I mean, he's basically, he's helping out this kid and he's trying to man him up a little bit. But in a way, even though he's doing it from a different angle, what it's giving the kid is some confidence.
Yeah.
You know, and so you sympathize with that. It's funny. And I got to tell you, it is amazing how good, I want to see William Zabka on screen all the time now. He is so good in this.
Oh, I think this is going to be a big boon for him. But I got to say this too. I want whatever Ralph Macchio eats, and I want it by the cord, because he doesn't look like a day over about 30, and he's almost 60.
Yeah, he's pushing his late 50s right now. One thing that I did want to mention on this, and we were talking about it off microphone, was that it's interesting how we've gotten older and how we've more sympathized and started rooting for the Johnny character and you know, the whole Cobra Kai thing, because, you know, it wasn't a legal kick. It wasn't a legal kick. It wasn't, but it was. And it's really cool to see these characters intertwine with their lives again.
Yeah, no, and I think this is going to be a lot of fun. By week's end, I'll have watched the whole thing. It's just a matter of time. I'm on vacation, you know. You don't have that much time to watch a lot of TV on vacation when you're visiting friends. Sorry, I came here to see you, but I got to watch Cobra Kai first.
So right now, it is definitely a stream it, but I can tell you right now, I'm going to be buying it.
Oh, yeah, this is as soon as it's available to buy in whatever format it is, whether it's a digital format or DVD or whatever.
And we're only two episodes in.
Yeah, so... But yeah,
I know Norm has already burned through it.
Oh, yeah.
I think Aaron's almost done with it.
Yeah, so it's been great. two, real quick before we kind of close out this week's show, I want to just say a big thank you to you and your family for your hospitality, for letting me stay here for a few days. I'm going to be hitting the road Monday morning. We're recording this on Sunday. I'm going to go a couple more places in my trip of rediscovery and healing from tax season.
You're a smart man to do that, man, to kind of just get your head right. You just, you know, got to decompress a little bit. But it's been a pleasure having you.
Yeah,
man.
It's been great, man. It's been too long since I've actually got to see you in person and we've got to hang out.
Yeah.
But two, I just want to say also, because I'm on the road, editing's not really getting quite done for shows. So next week when I get back, you'll have not only this episode of Culture Clash that you're listening to, you'll have another episode which includes our great interview with our friend Den.
Yes, yes.
And we'll have a few other things coming out too as we get things kind of back on track now that Kyle's free of the tax slavery. And
well, it's been a pleasure having you here, man. And before we wrap this up, we were brainstorming. You know, we've had some really fun segments here on the show. We had the countdown to Avengers Infinity War, which wrapped up. We had the Gunter's Guide to Ready Player One. And we're like, what else could we do? And when it came to Avengers Infinity War, we realized that people want to keep talking about this movie. Not specifically one particular thing, but they are dissecting all of these scenes together. And there's so many fantastic scenes and character development and speculation of what's going to happen and debate. And now that the kind of spoiler, blanket has been thrown off officially starting tomorrow because I say so. I gave you guys more than a week.
Wait. But two, and I want to just say something because we have our Avengers Infinity War segment out.
Yes.
But one of the things that's inspired this idea is we've had several people come to us and, well, you didn't talk about this. You didn't talk about
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Thank you.
And there's so much to talk about in this movie. This is a 3-hour film. And I mean, it's just, there's so many pieces. We can't, you think you hit everything and then you realize, oh, I forgot this, I forgot that. And while we have a great special out, we want to make sure we cover as much as we can on this film because this film is history
so,
right now.
So we're going to be picking certain scenes from the film. We're going to do some speculation. It's going to be a little short segment, you know, maybe about 5 or 10 minutes long, just picking apart certain parts of the movie. Because there's one thing that everyone I think has in common was that it's a heavy film. It does not end on a happy note. It is the Empire Strikes Back of this series.
There's been emotional damage.
So we're going to call it Avengers Infinity War Therapy.
Therapy. The doctor is in and he might be a little strange.
Yes. So we're going to revisit, keep talking about Avengers Infinity War. And we'd love to get some new voices into the show to talk about it and get your thoughts on it because people are going back to this movie to try to answer these questions and figure it out for themselves and to rediscover stuff or maybe even see stuff that we haven't seen before. Because we're noticing stuff on our third. Yeah. We saw it for the third time.
Well, and our friend Buddy Cat's about up to 6 now.
Right.
So. But I want to throw this out, too, for those of you who are listening. Either shoot us an email with a scene you want to see or get on our Facebook page and leave a comment. We're going to put something up about this here in a few days where you can leave a comment and tell us a scene that you might like to be on. And, you know, if you tell us a scene, we might ask you to come on to talk about it.
Or at least mention your name and give you a shout out. Yeah.
We are, you know, as we say, we're doctors. We're here for your therapy. Now, I'm not saying it might be covered by your health insurance or anything like that, but hey, we're going to try.
Definitely. So that should be fun because, and we'll probably have that go through the summer at least, and we'll see how it rides and do that. But there's a lot of stuff that we need to talk about.
Yeah, and then we had another inspired idea,
Kevin. Yeah.
and again, we are still dealing with the ramifications of Kevin's confession.
I'm sorry, what confession is that again? Is that my Kelly Kapowski doll confession?
Kevin hates Star Wars.
Oh, I don't hate Star Wars.
But no, Kevin, of course, a lot of people, and we covered this in the last episode of Culture Clash, which you'll hear before you actually hear this one, but spinning out of that, we wanted to kind of dive in a little deeper as far as what Kevin loved so much that made him realize this. So Kevin's going to be doing a segment diving into the legends of Star Wars, shall we say.
Yeah, I'm a big avid fan of the audiobooks, and I know a lot of the legend books were obviously, you know, some stuff was cut out. It was abridged stuff, but the talent in those voices that did those and the stories that they did get out, I was a big fan of, and I'm going to be covering mostly the books and the audiobooks. I'm not going to dive too much into the comics because there's just so much out there. But, you know, this is going to be a limited segment, I guess. And I really want to touch on some of my favorites and other people's favorites of these books. So we're going to be revisiting Legends a little bit and remind people of what was happening in these stories and why I fell in love with them. And there's still a huge fan base that not only fell in love with them, but also felt a little slighted that now it's being officially ignored as canon.
Yeah. So we're going to do a few other fun things this summer as well. We're always working on ideas around here. And of course, too, I do want to throw out, as we talked about a little bit at the top of the show, visit our T Public store, because we're in the middle of something here at the Fandom Podcast Network. We're almost there. We're going to have a special thing to put out about this, but there's going to be some new logos, some new looks, some new designs, and some new feel around here. So keep very close to it, but you can go start getting an idea of what we're up to by going to our TeePublic store checking it out. Not everything is up there yet, but there is a start.
Yep.
And go check that out.
Yeah, good call, good call. Well, I think that's going to do it for the show. First of all, before we get into the wrap-up of what's coming up on the Fandom Podcast Network, you've come up here to Atlanta. I don't know what you were expecting. What's going through your mind?
Well, it's been a blast. It's just been good to see you, get with friends who I've made over the last couple of years through the podcast and through associations that I haven't gotten to see in a while or meeting for the first time. And it was something I needed because I was coming, every year I have tax season and it's part of my job and I get it, but it does take a mental and physical toll on me.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people don't maybe understand it. And like, it is in a way a hard to explain.
Now, keep in mind though, you do love your job.
Oh no, I love my job. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, but this is just this, like with any job, if you love your job, but there's still parts of it that, but this is the part where that's why I'm there.
Right.
So this is just something for me that to be able to get away, see good friends, see people I consider family, and just kind of reboot myself.
Right.
So it's been a blast. I've enjoyed everything I've done. In ways I wish it was a little longer, but I gotta let Kevin get back to his rest of his life. He can only put up with me for so long. But again, it's just been a blast, and I can't wait. Next time you got to come back down to me.
Yeah, definitely. I want to see your parents again too.
And so it's just been a blast being here with my brother. That's
I love you, brother.
So, but Kevin, you want to tell the people what else is going on around the podcast network before we get too mushy?
Yeah, we'll get mushy later. All right. Of course, you're listening to Culture Clash, our weekly fandom show where we keep you up to date on all the latest geeky and pop culture news. We also have Blood of Kings, our Highlander podcast. And Norm and I have been busy. We're really excited. By the time this comes out, we're going to be diving back into the Highlander animated TV series. We got a two-part series where we're going to cover two episodes each of the Highlander animated series. And we're also going to be having Discoville. We're going to be diving back into the rewatch of the Orville. This is the show where we cover the Orville and Star Trek Discovery. Of course, we'll have Star Trek Discovery news when it pops up. But we're really enjoying our rewatch of the Orville, so we're really, really excited about that. And, of course, Couch Potato Theater, really excited about this as well. Currently out there, we have the Maximum Couch Potato Theater, where we're talking about all things Mad Max. Our friend from Down Under, Mr. Adam P. O'Brien, he and I did a wonderful retrospective of the original Mad Max from 1979, and we're going to be diving into Mad Max 2, otherwise known to Americans as The Road Warrior, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and of course Fury Road, and we'll probably have a supplemental too with some other people's and fans of the show thoughts about the world of Mad Max. And also we have The Hidden coming out, the 1987 alien infestation buddy cop film, which was I got turned on to by my fiance Erin Gill, and we also had her on and our other friend from our alien infestation our Australian infestation, Mr. Blair Hiscock.
No, alien infestation was right the first time.
Blair Hiscock, who has his own YouTube station called Pops Culture. Big fan of The Hidden. We did a wonderful retrospective on that. Really, really excited about that. We got some other stuff coming down the pipe as well, right?
Yeah. And of course, too, we also have our friends over at Good Evening bringing us all the Alfred Hitchcock history that you need. And when I get back from vacation, it's time.
Yeah, it is.
It's time to make that play and head back into the end zone.
Yes, we are going to get, I know we've been talking about it or threatening about it. We're going to get back in the end zone because we have so much to cover with the free agency. And it seems like every week a new quarterback is becoming the highest paid quarterback of all time.
I'm waiting. When is that? Tom Savage, highest paid quarterback contract coming.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he's a big Star Wars fan, though. If you listen to Rebel Force Radio, they got a message from Tom Savage, the backup quarterback for Drew Brees. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So before we depart, Kevin, you got wisdom for us?
I do. As I like to say always, may the force be with you. Live long and prosper. And to quote Johnny from Cobra Kai, oh, she's Cobra Kai material.
That was a Cobra move.
You have to watch the show to know that.
For me, it's just, you know, it's been a wonderful vacation. I'm ready to get back to business. I got a few more days of it left here. And I'm just going to say that, you know, I know you just didn't say you didn't know Guns N' Roses. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that.
Nice.
And don't forget, we chop the prices around here.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
And you'll get a bonsai tree.
Oh man, there was so much nostalgia in that show, and that we only watched two episodes too. Oh my God. Well, dude, it's been a pleasure having you here, man. It's nice to have my brother from Tampa up here, and I really appreciate you coming up here.
And it's been a blast. Thank you so much for having me. And with that, the only thing I'm going to say is grab your soda, raise it high, and just remember, this is the Fandom Podcast Network. This is Culture Clash, your home for fandom news, reviews, and whatever crazy other things we can find. Cheers, my brother. Thank you for listening. Go do fun fandom stuff. We'll be right back.